If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Hey, Andre, I heard you just drove the most fun truck that you've driven in the last, what, year or two?
A year, I would say. Yeah, at least a year.
Yeah, so you just came back from Detroit where you did a lot of trucky things.
Exactly.
And the most fun thing you did was you drove a supercharged V8 F-150 Lobo.
Exactly. So Ford's been doing this for a while, right? So they've been offering kind of dealership-installed aftermarket, I'm calling them aftermarket because it doesn't come from the factory, right? Mm-hmm. Superchargers for their 5-liter vehicles, including the Mustangs and, of course, the F-150s. But I drove a kind of a special version, and there's a lot of news related to that.
Yeah, so in this podcast, we're going to chat about Andre's trip to Detroit.
Yep.
And I got to drive, dude, I got to drive a Durango Hellcat in the snow in Vermont.
Wow, so we should talk about that too.
Yeah, and apparently, I don't know what you ate, but you ate something weird in Detroit, so we'll hit that as well. We'll get to your questions, and of course, we're going to have to dive deep into the truck that isn't a Caterpillar.
Exactly, and also talk a little bit about Ram as well. So, and preview something that's happening next week, and also we are live on patreon.com/TFLcar, so thanks for joining us, and as always, any feedback or questions, we welcome that.
Yeah, and if you're not a Patreon member, supporter of TFL, and you want to help us provide more truck news to you, then consider becoming a member. And of course, the trick there is you have to go to patreon.com/TFLcar.
Yeah, because we only have one account on
exactly.
Patreon.
We started it before we thought it through.
Yes. Because we should have called it TFL Studios, right?
Yeah.
Not TFL Car. But anyways, just go to TFL Car and you'll support everything TFL, including this podcast, including everything we're doing on our off-road channels and everything else.
And if you do decide to become a Patreon and you don't want a penny of your money going to car content, just shoot us a note and we'll make sure that that happens. Okay? I guarantee.
We're going to buy some sandwiches.
I guarantee we'll, yeah. We won't put a penny toward car content. All right. Yeah. So tell me about this new Lobo that Ford is building because it is super interesting. And I think for a long time, people have been kind of curious, let's call it supercharger curious,
yeah,
about how they could supercharge their Coyote. And now Ford has kind of gotten into the game themselves more directly than having to have you go through a dealer. So tell me about the Lobo first. Tell me what it is.
So Lobo came out last year, right?
Yeah.
So it's basically a little bit more of a street-oriented
F-150.
F-150. And
is it lowered?
It's lowered in the back only. Oh. So here's the thing. So F-150 as it is, it's a four-wheel drive truck, right? Mm-hmm. And usually the stance is with the front is a little bit lower than the rear, right?
I know what Kent would call that.
Let's not talk about that. And then basically that's done for payload, right? So uh-huh. when you add a lot of payload to the truck or towing a heavy trailer, here's one of the images we have here. So if you're watching
this. It's triple black. Look at that.
Oh, my gosh. It was sinister as heck.
Yeah.
So what they did, do you see how it's now a level stance? So really, I think it's not low enough really for, you know, just really street custom look.
What size are those wheels and tires?
22s.
I know. I mean, it looks like they're rubber bands around those wheels. Holy cannoli.
So that's another thing you get with the Lobo, right? You get 22s. You get really kind of low-profile tires. And a level stance, and a unique grill. Do you see how that LED light kind of runs through the front grill?
Yeah, it looks like a bunch of like colons, right?
Like a hash marks, really.
Like a bunch of hash marks. Yeah. So it's like you know how Tesla has now the light that runs across the entire front? This is like that, except that it's broken into little sections.
Yeah, and I'm getting a little tired of continuous lights on everything.
Yeah, it's
right?
cool.
Everybody is doing kind of continuous light bars. So this is kind of a unique look, and it also has kind of a treatment, you know, the lower grille treatment and a little chin spoiler and kind of the side skirts. So it has and of course it's difficult to see on this one because it's all triple black.
So can I ask you this? What yes. trim level is a Lobo? Can you get it in various trim? Can it be XR?
No, it's only one.
XL.
So it's basically STX.
STX.
STX, which is basically a kind of a work truck. With a little bit more pizzazz, right? So there's still the XL, which is a base-based work truck. Then the STX adds a little bit of color to the interior. There's different stitching, you know, the different badging.
Didn't we have that Ranger? Wasn't it an STX? Remember, we had that old Ranger that we traded in on a Tesla that we did all the lights on.
Yes, you mean the black one?
Yeah.
And then we did a sunset color pattern.
Yeah, that was
it.
An STX, I believe. Yeah.
So it's that, except now you can also add a Lobo package to it. And with that, of course, you get the 5-liter Coyote V8. But now it's a little bit easier, actually, to get a supercharger installed on this F-150. So what used to happen, and you and I test drove actually a supercharged F-150, what, a year ago maybe?
Yeah.
So what used to happen is they have a Ford Performance. So you can see a picture right there. Ford is working with Whipple. This is a 3-liter. So the supercharger itself has like a volume, right? A measurement. So it's a 3-liter generation 6 supercharger. And it really adds a lot of power, dude. 300 horsepower it adds.
So you're over 700?
Yeah. So you go from 400 to 700, basically. And the way it used to work is you go to a dealer and the dealer installs it for you,
mm-hmm.
right? And it comes with its own warranty, but it also comes with a lot of caveats. We can discuss that too.
Well, so before we get to the caveats, let's talk about our experience. Well, my experience.
Yes.
And then you kind of compare and contrast it. So right before we bought our Coyote last year, F-150.
Tremor.
We test drove one of these supercharged Ford F-150s from the dealer.
Which was like a Lariat, right?
It was
kind of a mid-grade.
Yeah. I think what happened was our dealer had Brighton Ford, good people.
Yeah.
Had, I think he said it was like somewhat, it was a used, maybe hail-damaged truck, and he thought it'd be fun to slap a supercharger on. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Because the price wasn't that crazy.
No, it was like under 70 grand maybe.
Oh, it was a lot less than that.
Okay, yeah. Maybe I don't remember the price.
Yeah, this was a used Coyote that I think he had traded in it, and then he decided to supercharge it using the Ford supercharger. And then we drove it, and this is why I'm talking about it. And it was quicker, but it didn't like blow my skirt up. It wasn't like exactly like a TRX
like a wow.
or a Raptor. It was fast, but you didn't necessarily get that sense of like the supercharger whine coming in from the front, and then they had a great exhaust note. It just felt like a quicker F-150.
It was civilized.
Yeah,
but
I think it's a good way of putting it.
But I think that's a wrong thing for this type of truck.
So
right?
tell me about the Lobo. Is it different than that? Because it's basically the same setup.
Yes. So I don't know what the difference was, the one we drove and the one that, because they're using technically the same supercharger, right? Yeah. But you could hear, so we have a video coming. So if you want to enjoy a little bit more, you know, video version of this, there's going to be a video on TFL trucks. So you can check out all TFL as well and check it out. But you have wonderful supercharger wine. It was crazy quick. So you and I drove it in Denver-ish, which is like elevation is a little bit higher, right? So I drove it in Detroit, which is the elevation is a little bit lower. So I don't know if that was a difference.
Will it do a burnout?
Oh, it has two-wheel drive mode.
Yeah.
And all-wheel drive mode for a basic truck. That's pretty cool. And Cole and I burned some rubber, actually.
Did you? Good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We tried to do it in the most, you know, just PC way possible.
Yeah. But you're saying you'd like to see this thing get slammed. You want it to be like a true, like, California slammed street truck. And this just feels like, an F-150 that looks Which sinister. If you see the pictures, if you're watching this on YouTube, it's just a blacked out truck with a lot of cool kind of lights across the front of it and a supercharger. But it doesn't feel like a street racer truck.
It doesn't even feel like
the Maverick. You know, the Maverick...
They also have a Lobo.
Yeah, the Lobo Maverick, which is, you know, if that one feels like it's slammed, this one just looks like it's normal ride height.
Kind of normal, yes, especially in the front.
Except for the 22s.
Especially in the front, yes. Yeah. So, Cole, can you go to a website? Can you look up Ford Custom Garage?
All right, so how much does all this cost?
So, all in, so the Supercharger edition costs $10,250. And then... under vehicles at the top, Cole, find the Ford, in the 150. And then the Lobo itself costs about 61.
So you're at 72.
So you're at the 72. Okay. So for 72,000, that was a lot of fun we had.
This is an important question.
Yes.
Do they do it at the factory or does a dealer still do it?
Neither.
Okay, that's confusing. Well, Joe's Garage does it? You take it over to your local Ford aftermarket installer?
No, it's not Joe.
Okay, who is it then?
It's not Joe. It's Fox Factory.
Oh, Fox Factory.
Yeah, so Fox Factory is a separate company, but they do work very closely with many pickup truck OEM manufacturers. And so what they're doing, what's different now, is that you could order it via your dealer, right? Let's say you're buying a brand new F-150, and then it will, before it gets delivered to the dealership, it will go through the Fox Factory facility. They will actually, and they specialize in this, right? They do superchargers every day, all day long, right? So it'll go through them and it gets delivered supercharged, and you will pay whatever the money is. In this case, it's about $72,000.
Okay. Now, the reason I asked that is because our friends over at Edmunds did that. They bought a Dark Horse.
Okay, Mustang.
A Mustang, and they supercharged it. And
via dealership.
Yeah, via dealership. The dealer did it. And then they did their U-Drags, which are a lot of fun, and you guys go check them out. Basically, it's a drag race that they go down the airstrip and then turn around and come back. It's a really interesting and smart idea for
cool.
a drag race. Yeah, I'm jealous, guys. Anyway, they had this Dark Horse, they supercharged it, and they felt like it never had the right amount of performance. And then I guess they took it to the track, and the thing threw all kinds of lights, and then they took it back to the dealership. And what they figured out was that when the dealer had done the install, they hadn't gapped the spark plugs correctly for the supercharger. And basically,
because you're adding pressure, basically.
Yeah, and basically they were blowing out the spark plugs, which is bad.
Yes.
And they could have, in fact, wrecked the engine, but I guess the Coyote is very stout, and it didn't break. But once they had it gapped right, then it felt like it had a lot more power. But I bring this up because I always worry about a dealer doing these kinds of major installs because, let's face it, they're set up to do, you know, a lot of
repairs.
Yeah, repairs and warranty stuff. But I kind of feel like, knowing me, what would happen is I take it to the Ford dealer and I'd be like, hey, can you supercharge this for me for, what, $11,000, $12,000? And then they'd be like, yeah, no problem. And then their master mechanic would be out to lunch. And then they'd be like, hey, where's Joe? And then they'd be like, oh, Joe's out to lunch.
He's an intern.
Yeah, how about Steve? Oh, he's sick today. Well, give it to Pete. You know, he's
nothing just, against Pete.
Nothing against Pete. But this is the first time he's up. And I think this Edmund story kind of tells that tale because, according to them, the dealer they took it to in California had done a bunch of these, and yet they didn't gap the spark plugs right. So I worry about, you know, having that much on the line with maybe a mechanic who has never done it.
Okay, so now we get to the caveats, right?
Okay, yeah.
So first of all, we're showing a couple of things if you're watching this on TFL Talk channel. So you can kind of see exactly the price of the supercharger kit. It's available for 2021 through 2026 F-150s with a 5-liter, yada, yada,
yada. Does that 10,250 install, or is that just the kit?
Well, that's a little bit interesting. I think it depends on when you order it. If you order it on a brand new truck, I think it's included.
Yep.
If you already own an F-150 and you want to make this upgrade to it, I think the installation will be extra because you have to actually take it somewhere to a different dealership or certified facility for this. So that's why I'm saying there's a lot of little caveats. I just wish this was a factory truck.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, why not just do it at the factory? Ford knows how to install a supercharger.
Yeah, because they have the Raptor R.
Yeah.
I mean, they sell that, you know, every day.
Yeah, it seems like the obvious thing here is just have them do it when they're, you know, just go down the line and then this one gets a supercharger.
Well, it must be related to maybe emission standards and or standards.
There must be some reason. So it's kind of like the Prospector, right? If you're doing a Ram Prospector, then what you do is you buy the Ram from Ram,
yeah,
and then it gets shipped over to AEV in Michigan, and then they do the, you know, they do
suspension, the work,
suspension, yeah, the big tires, and you know all the
bumpers
and all that, and then you pick it up from AEV. Or I think they can
sell it. Oh, they ship it to you.
So it's kind of like that.
So yeah, so that's kind of the way it works. And then our good friend Charlie Miller, he was on the show, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He came out from Texas.
Yeah, he's a great guy. He runs a wrecking service in Texas.
Exactly. So amazing. He had one of these trucks, right? He had a 2-door.
It was amazing.
Remember how loud it was?
Yeah, it was so cool. So cool. Charlie, thanks again for bringing it up.
Yes, we did the drag race with it.
So he had the dealer install the supercharger.
Basically, yeah. So he worked through a dealer, bought this brand new truck. It was lowered. Remember, it was slammed.
Yeah, he basically built his own Lobo.
It was slammed. We have a video of that on our YouTube channel.
And anyway, this story does not have a happy ending.
No, it does not have a happy ending because he wanted to switch it out. He wanted to trade it in and get something else from Ford. And he found out that the 3-year warranty that Ford, you know, is including with the supercharger,
which is what you would buy. It's factory warrantied, so you feel confident that if you're Edmunds and you blow the engine because the dealer didn't get the gap right,
here's the video.
Yeah,
it's non-transferable.
Ooh, ouch.
So really, the resale value suffers quite a lot because the dealer now told him, oh, by the way, you know, it's been only a year and the warranty is not transferable to the next owner. As such, we're not going to give you as much value for this truck as it otherwise would have. So that's kind of a big deal. And I reached out to Ford about this, and they said they're working on this. So they're trying to actually include a transferable warranty.
Why do they have to work on it? What is there? Did they just go, they check a box, it's transferable?
I think it's between them and Whipple.
Oh.
So Whipple provides the supercharger, right?
I see.
So I don't know what the business implications of this is for Ford
Makes
or
sense.
Whipple,
yeah.
But the customers, us, we're the consumers.
Look, here's the biggest caveat. When we bought, I think, one of the big caveats, I think that this non-transferable warranty is a huge one. But the thing that kept us, when we initially bought the Tremor, we thought we should probably supercharge it. So own it a little bit, do all of our usual
because
stuff.
We haven't seen one, right?
Yeah. And then you quickly come to the realization, we just had this happen when we were actually selling it. And that is, there's no value in that supercharger if you go to sell it to a dealer or if you go to trade it in on something else. They will give you no additional money for it. So you've just spent $12,000 for the experience.
Or maybe more.
Yeah. For the experience of having a supercharger. And in your mind, as a guy, I'm thinking, hey, this thing has 7 horsepower. So when I go
it's
to the
valuable.
Dealer, yeah, and I go trade it on an F-250 diesel, they'll give me that money. They won't. And it happened. It happened to us with the Tremor because we put on some lights. Our friends at F-150 Light
LEDs.
Great. By the way, if you're looking for some cool ass lights to put on, check out F-150 LEDs. Those guys are incredible. Just beautiful.
Well, different options.
Yeah, yeah. It lit up the front of the truck like daylight. We did a video with that. But I went to sell that to a guy I know who buys vehicles for another dealership, and he actually said that they would give us less money for the truck because we installed $7,500 worth of LEDs on it. And I don't know if that's dealer shenanigans or if that's real, because part of it could be like, you know, let's face it, when you buy something, you don't want to buy someone else's creation.
Yeah, because it's that person's vision.
Yeah.
Right? That may not translate to another person's vision.
Exactly.
Right?
So it may be that, or it may just be that, because I say that because have you ever gone to like a, let's stay with Ford, but it's also Ram and Chevy, not Honda. And you go to the dealership, and there's some massively lifted truck sitting in the front of the dealership with, you know, Smitty Built's parts on it that some like local fabricator had put together for the dealership, and now the truck is $25,000 more expensive than it would be if it was just stock. So it's kind of this double message where you go to them, you say, "Hey, I've done what you're going to do with whatever shop you're using, and I did it myself." But they'll be like, "Oh no, people want, you know,
people want our stuff and not your
stuff.
You
know, they want the stock truck." But then you're like, "But you're selling one for $25,000 more, which is lifted,
or whatever,
which probably has no warranty, which is done by somebody that I've never heard of with questionable, you know,
parts. Whatever.
Yeah, it's certainly not, you know, the Cadillac of parts." And you're asking $25,000 for that. But that's okay versus the fact that, you know, we professionally did ours. You know, we put on great LED lights.
And we didn't do it in our garage. We went to a professional Overland.
A professional who's done this a lot because that's what we do here. I mean, we are kind of at the top of the spear here, at the tip of the spear when it comes to products that we have. And yet you're going to discount the value of this truck because of that.
You know, the same thing happened to our listed Cummins.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
So we put a suspension system on the Cummins, Ram 2500. We put AV bumpers on it. We put lights. We put, gosh, we're like $15,000 of
didn't get a penny
stuff.
For it.
Not a single penny.
And the same thing happened when we sold our Gladiator to an individual. So we had
a Jeep performance kit on it.
That the dealer installed.
Yes.
And warrantied.
Yeah.
We had a rooftop tent.
Yes.
And we had the deck system. And I don't think we got any more money for that Gladiator than if it had been completely stock. So the lesson there that we've learned and the reason we didn't supercharge our Tremor is we're just going to take...
Because we're not going to keep it for a very long time.
No, we're going to take $12,000 and we're going to, you know, go poof in a...
And we're going to smile.
We're going to smile.
For a while.
Do some videos, which will make, you know, a couple $100 maybe, because that's YouTube world these days.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we'll end up spending 11 to make two.
Exactly.
Maybe.
For us, it didn't make sense.
Yeah.
But if you're buying your dream truck, right, and if you want to keep it for 5, 10, 15 years, right, and then pass it on to your children or whatever, that maybe that makes sense, right? You're keeping it for a long time.
Yeah, if you're one of these guys or gals who like keeps their stuff forever and you want that, then that's great.
Then it makes sense.
But then you're also like now, you know, overnight gas prices apparently this week went up 11%.
Yes.
And now you've got this big old supercharger. That's sucking fuel like it was.
You
got
to pay to play.
You got to pay to play like it was out of style.
By the way, the supercharger requires premium fuel.
There you go.
Yeah. 91 octane or above.
Yeah. You're going to be going to Costco quite a bit. Or Sam's.
So it also depends on the year of your vehicle. It also like, you know, CARB states, right? And California Air Resources Board. So some of them are approved, some are not. So you really have to be, you know, read the fine print when you're doing a lot of this modifications. Read the fine print, make sure the state you live in, you know, it's approved, all that is fine.
And the biggest caveat is that it's the most fun you've had in a truck in a while.
And the biggest caveat, Cole and I were laughing the entire time.
Like two little boys playing with toy trucks.
We were like graduating from high school. I mean, we were living high.
Andre, how much is youth work? How much is reliving your
apparently
youth
apparently 11,000.
At least 11,000. There you go. So forget everything else we said. If you want a huge smile, if you want to go and do some badass burnouts and be the biggest F-150 on your block, then this is the way to go.
Yeah, so that was a lot of fun, dude. Do you want to tell what happened in Vermont, dude?
I had more fun than you did.
No way.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'll tell you why. So I got to go drive the new Ram I got to go drive the new Ram.
Dodge.
Dodge.
It's the same thing.
Yeah. All Stellantis. And there's, I was editing myself as I was speaking because it's under embargo. So I can't talk about driving impressions of the new Charger.
Okay.
So there's a new Charger, and it's the RT.
It's a little bit more affordable, right?
Yeah, I'll give you the pricing breakdown, and I'll talk about why. I'll turn this truck really quickly. But so there's a new RT which has 420 horsepower. This isn't driving impression, and basically what it is a $49,000 American muscle car,
turbocharged,
yeah, straight six Hurricane, and then if you want the Scat Pack, which has the high output Hurricane, which gives you another 130 horsepower, then it's 54 starting, and then if you want the EV, the Daytona, then it's 59. So 49, 54, $5,000 increments.
Okay.
And then if you want four doors instead of two doors, if you need the space in the back, then it's $2,000 more. So for $51,000, give or take, you can have a four-door muscle car, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
And that's before any incentives. It looks really badass. Yes. So I got to drive that in the snow in Vermont because we have no snow and Vermont does. And then if you want to know how it drives, come back next week or go to AllTFL. And I did a comparison of the RT to the Scat Pack to the Daytona. Can I do a little rant here?
Yes.
Do people like my rants? I'm going to do a little rant. And I actually spoke with the CEO of Dodge about this, and he put up with my rant. So if he can put up with it, maybe you guys can too. And I'll ask you this question. I'll see if you think I'm right here. All right? Maybe you too, Cole.
Okay.
So what my beef is they've gone crazy. Okay, so first of all, let's take a step back. I love the fact that they're using real names. Daytona, Scat Pack, right? It's great.
Charger.
Better than like, you know, ZX15,
yeah.
You know, TIX.
Yeah, I love real names.
But they've gone overboard, right? So in this lineup, you not only have a six-pack, but you have a Scat Pack. You have a Daytona. You have an RT. I think you're going to have a Hellcat.
Or a Hemi or something.
You have a Demon. And I'm just scratching the surface with, like, you know, you have a Jailbreak. I'm just scratching the surface of, like, names that they use. And it gets very confusing because, like, it's a Charger, RT, or six-pack, or Scat Pack. You see what I'm saying? It's,
yes,
like too much.
Yes.
Too much of a,
yes,
good thing. And that was my rant. I'm like, just pick a designation or model or name and stick with it. Like make it Hellcat. You know like how Prius tried to become its own brand,
yeah,
and didn't quite work. But how about Hellcat everything? Just, you know, it's a Hellcat.
Or Hemi everything.
Yeah, that's another one. Hemi, right?
Hemi everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, you know.
Well, yeah, I see, kind of.
You see what I'm saying? And then, yeah, there's a Bumblebee on one of them.
But
you
know, I love their logos. I love most of their names.
A lot of it.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, it's also Fradzonic. So you also have that.
Oh, yes.
You also have the Fradzonic thing on the front of it, the,
yes,
little symbol. So potentially you've got Charger, six-pack, Scat Pack, Fradzonic.
Wow, that's easy to
muscle
say.
Muscle car, right?
Yeah.
That's what you've got there.
Yeah.
That's like four brands in one. It's too much. Too much. Anyway.
Let us know what you think.
Yeah, let us know what you think. Am I off base? Maybe you like Andre. Maybe you love all this stuff. It's fine. It's better than, like I said, QX15, ZX25, or whatever the hell, you know, alphanumeric stuff. So I did get to drive the Durango Hellcat. Jailbreak. It's $95,000.
Yep.
So
we recently had it too here, but not in the snow.
Not in the snow.
Okay.
No, but I got to drive it in the snow.
Is that embargoed?
No.
Okay.
No, it's not embargoed. I don't think it's embargoed. I don't think so. It was such a hoot, Andre. I mean, first of all,
Did you feel like you broke out from jail?
I did. I felt like I broke out from jail. The design is getting a little dated. And of course,
yes,
of course, they got sued because they said that they were going to only Hellcat some of them. And then, you know, this is the fifth year now that they've Hellcatted them.
Because it was like the final edition.
Yeah, the owner said, hey, we lost all of our money. And the judge ruled that that's on you, the manufacturer. Actually, it's interesting. So the owners who bought them said, hey, you said you were only going to build, I don't know what the number is, let's say it's 1,000.
And only for a limited time, right?
Only for a limited time. And in fact, you went and built them for the next 5 years, and that took the value out of ours because we bought ours as an investment. And the judge came back and he said, at the time when they said that, they believed what they were saying, so you can't sue them. That was basically the ruling.
Wow.
So if you believe what you're saying at the time, so if there was no plan to build more, so at the time, I think Kaniska said, yeah, this is going to be it. And then
things changed.
And then the dealers came to him and said, these things are selling like hotcakes. And then Kaniska thought about it, and he said, you know what? We should make another model year.
Yeah.
But at the time when he said it, that's what they were going to do.
Okay.
That's
well, the judge, that's what the judge said.
Yeah, I'm not a legal eagle, but that's how it – Anyway, I love the truck, and I'll tell you what I love about it. I counted the number of buttons in the center console. Guess how many buttons it has? In the world of all screens, guess how many buttons this thing has and dials?
21.
26 buttons.
Wow.
And 3 dials.
Wow, that's a lot of buttons.
Yeah, and
that's
I loved it. It was so refreshing to like just be able to look and see, oh, there's a little icon of an air conditioner.
Or a heated seat.
Yeah,
or something.
A heated seat. You know, yeah. It says AC. I hit it, and the AC comes on. How refreshing. You don't know what you've lost until you've lost it. You don't have to scroll through 15 pages. You don't have to figure out. You want to turn something off? You want to turn off stability control? Push a button.
Bam.
Easy peasy. Yeah, that. And of course, I forgot. God, Andre, it made me want the TRX so bad. Mm. I forgot just how intoxicated.
Well, it has the wine.
You
drove a supercharged V8, and I did too.
Yeah. Oh, you just that there's that perfect harmony of intake, wine, and exhaust note.
Yes.
Where it's like you get this wonderful supercharger as it's spooling up. It's like, right. You can hear those RPMs, and then out the back you can hear, you know, the God laughing and the exhaust note that is almost perfect in my mind. And the combination of the two, oh, I would use a big O for that, Andre, every time I floored it. It was so gratifying. And back then, the gas was still cheap. This was the beginning of the week, so I wasn't too stressed about, you know, just burning like 4 gallons of fuel every time I stepped on it.
Did you go sideways? Were you on ice?
I didn't floor it on ice.
Okay.
Because it didn't have snow tires. That would have been
that would be useless then.
Yeah, I waited till we got off the snow.
Yeah.
And then I floored it. What a wonderful experience that is. And I had only, I think Dodge made the claim that this is the highest performing, most powerful 3-row you can buy. That's internal combustion. I believe that somebody can fact check me on that, but I believe that's the case, right?
A 3-row.
3-row, yeah.
Yeah, because the Escalade V is also supercharged, but it has a little bit less power.
So they said it's the most. So I was like, oh, I wonder if that's true. It's not true if you compare it to the Rivian R1S quad motor, which I think has
or the Hummer SUVs,
right?
But the Hummer is 2-row. It's not 3-row. Well,
R1S is 3-row.
Yes, it is.
But it's electric. So
exactly.
I think they said internal combustion. So I give it that little like.
You know, I hate when manufacturers do this. They're like, we can tow the most except in this segment only on a sunny day. You know, that's. By the way, Jonathan has a couple of comments. We also had a comment on Patreon, I think. So Jonathan says, if you're making a modification, sorry, I have a hard time reading because it's being blocked by the camera. If you're making the modification.
I can't see it, so.
It has to be reversible, you know, so otherwise you will lose a lot of value, right? So that's the comment that Jonathan is making.
Then you got to spend money to reverse it.
I know, you have to spend money to reverse it.
And then you got to spend money to store that crap.
Or sell it.
We have at the ranch, we have a container full of stuff where we've kept it. I was just in there because we had to clean out. We should talk about you. We should talk about that too. We should talk about the cool car. This weekend we have a really cool video. Andre's uncle gave us a car.
Yes,
such a cool car. He gave us the car. I've been looking for this car. We'll get to that. We've been looking for this car for like the last 10 years, and he just out of the blue he just said, "Here, take it," because we were renting his garage.
Yeah,
and I paid.
And he has to move. Yeah,
he has to. Yeah. He's moving. He's staying with his daughter in Italy.
Yes.
I think that's fair to say.
Yes,
and so he's selling the house, and I paid rent for the full year. And he's such a nice man. So instead of giving me the money back, he said, "You know what? Just take the car." And I would rather have the car actually than the money,
because it's useful.
Yeah, the car is so cool. It's such a cool car. Anyway, the reason I was talking about that is because there was so much crap in there, right? That we saved.
Yeah,
where we took it off because we were modifying.
Because you're not sure if you're going to use it again or whatever.
Yeah, like this guy said, right? To save it, and so then it's just like, like in our container at the ranch, we have this giant set of Ram side steps. Remember, we took the side steps off. What do you do with those? They're huge. They weigh like 50 pounds each, and they're just sitting there cluttering stuff up.
Yes.
All right. What are some of the other comments?
Well, Don is actually, I think, looking into the future because down on our list. Don Megahan wants us to talk about the cat truck.
Okay, yeah, we'll definitely talk about that. We did a video and I screwed it up, so I apologize.
We'll talk about that in a second.
We had to take a video down.
And week. Elliot says he appreciates your rants. Thank you, Elliot.
Any on Patreon?
Okay. This is it. Yeah.
All right.
For now.
Well, thank you.
So we'll talk about. Well, did Tommy publish this my uncle's car video?
No, it goes up Sunday.
Okay,
we'll talk about that in a second. Let's talk about the cat truck.
Yes, let's do it.
So I was grumpy and
I think you and I had a reason to be grumpy. First of all, I was also grumpy.
I was grumpy and I was tired.
Yes,
because I had gotten up like at 2 a.m. and I forget what happened, but I was grumpy and I was angry at Ram because we got a boat ton of emails from viewers a few years ago saying that Ram was building a pickup truck. And everybody, Cat was building a pickup truck.
Yes,
and everybody was asking us what we thought about it, why we weren't covering it, and it was a bunch of AI that somebody had just put together a cat truck. And then this week at the Vegas show, Cat came out with their truck, and the truck was basically a rebadged
Ford
450.
Yeah, exactly.
That showcased their technology, because obviously with AI and with technology, Caterpillar has gotten very deep into having a lot of remote control stuff, a lot of stuff that's robotic. And this F450 had all kinds
of...
Showcase of all that technology. And I was grumpy about it because I kind of felt like if they were going to build a real full-size truck, they should have actually built it and not rebranded. And not, in my opinion, done kind of a goofy job. I'm going to use the word goofy because I use something much harsher than that. But it was a goofy job on a F450 in like yellow.
So
what's your call?
I was also very grumpy, by the way. Can you show some other images like of the grill, Cole? So if you're watching us, you could see it.
That's a drone on the roof that it deploys.
It is a drone on the roof. So... basically, what happened a couple of years ago is fake news, right? Because people basically spread this rumor that Caterpillar is building a pickup truck. So, and Caterpillar brand has a lot of value, right? I mean, they make diesel engines for big trucks. Actually, they make engines for a lot of military vehicles as well. And so there's a lot of value because pickup truck guys and gals really appreciate, you know, bigger vehicles, and also construction equipment, which is, I think, really cool. And there was a bunch of fake news. But now, instead of addressing the fake news that I felt like they didn't, right? Because they didn't, because I asked them. They did this, basically rebranding a Ford Super Duty as a cat vehicle, which is okay. I mean, I understand that. But they didn't quite explain, hey, we're not building a pickup truck. We're just showcasing our technology. You know what I'm saying? That's why I was grumpy, because there's so much fake news out there now that we need to be very specific about what we're doing.
Yeah. I don't know if Cat doesn't want to get into the business of building full-size pickup trucks. Maybe this is not their wheelhouse, which makes a lot of sense. But I just felt, and I still feel, like, why? I don't understand. I just don't get what this accomplishes for them. I don't understand how this promotes their business.
Well, it promotes their business because we keep talking about it.
Yeah, I guess that's right. But you see what I'm saying? I mean, they're not selling Fords.
No. But the people who own Cats probably own Fords also.
But so let's say you want to do the show and you want to showcase your technology. Why wouldn't you like show a skid steer or something that you actually build at the show and then have that
you control remotely or something?
Yeah, have that technology in the thing that you're selling?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I just don't understand what the point of, or if you're going to showcase the technology, why rebrand the F-450 as a Caterpillar when you're not building it? Why not just have an F-450 and stick the technology
in a different color? That's fine.
Yeah. And say, hey, if you're driving to the work site, we've got all this cool tech. You might be driving a Ford, you might be driving a Ram, whatever it is, but here's the tech. But why do this as...
Why brand it as Cat?
As Cat, yeah. And badly, like if you show that interior, it's like they took the Cat logo and just covered up the Ford logo.
With it, yeah. On the steering wheel.
Yeah. That just seems like... It just seems hokey to me. So anyway,
that's where we were on this. Yeah. Can you show me the comment again, Cole, on Patreon here? So... he says, I know the Ford badges have been removed, but the Cat doesn't manufacture vehicles that can use their engines and transmissions in the class of the vehicles, so partnering with a company like Ford just makes sense. Maybe Ford will put a Cat logo on their diesels like GM put Allison on their trucks.
But is this a partnership with Ford?
No.
This isn't like the Harley partnership where they actually partner with Harley and then Ford or a subcontractor of Ford's builds this. This is all internally done with Cat, as far as I'm aware. There's no Ford involvement here.
And Cat specified that later this week. They did say this was not a partnership with Ford.
Yeah. So this is just Cat kind of going out there on their own.
But they could. You know, if this gets enough traction, right, it's feasible, according to Don's comment also, that, you know, Ford may want to use some of this branding together, right? Ford and Cat could work together. But Ford has been so... specific over the last decade, they build their own diesels, they build their own transmissions, right? And they're very proud of, you know, combining all that stuff by themselves. So I don't think they're going to use Cat branding.
I mean, wouldn't it be worth a phone call? Like maybe that phone call took place, but if I was doing this, I'd be like, hey guys, let's call up Ford and let's see if we can do a partnership where we co-brand
our vehicles together.
Because a lot of their customers are on our job sites and vice versa. A lot of, you know, our machinery is that their customers use a lot of our machinery. So let's do something together, because the problem I have with it, and this is a personal thing, it looks thrown together, and to me, and I'm not being grumpy here, but I'm sorry, it just doesn't look good. It you know, and I think Ford knows how to build a pickup. So if Ford's designers had been there, they would have actually made this thing look like something that's desirable, as opposed to something that, you know, somebody kind of just decided to like wrap an F-450 and stick some Cat logos on it and then throw a bunch of tech on it and a drone on the roof and call it done. I mean, it would have been something desirable. I would love to see a Ford branded or Caterpillar branded F-450 or 350. Mm-hmm. I think that would be really cool. Hell, you know, if you're going to do it, why don't you at least put some treads on it?
Oh yeah, lift it up.
Not that hard to do.
It's been it exists.
You can buy those treads.
Technology
all of a sudden exists. That's just off the top of my head. That's like throw some treads. I mean, Caterpillar has a lot. Caterpillar comes from treads, right? That's what it's like a caterpillar.
Yes. Yes.
A million little feet, right?
Yes.
So go and look into your heritage, and then go buy some of those treads that you can slap on a pickup truck and start with that.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
What's next?
Well, let's talk.
Do you want to talk about very expensive trucks?
Let's talk about what you ate.
Yes.
What did you eat in Detroit?
I have a picture.
All right. We have a picture.
So Cole and I.
Can I take a guess?
Yes. Before we show it.
Yeah. Is it okay? I'm gonna take some guesses. Is it Rocky Mountain oysters?
No.
All right, I didn't read. Okay. Is it alligator?
No. It's actually not very exotic.
Oh, it's not very exotic.
It's not super exotic, but it's a little strange. So Cole and I are
spaghetti.
Well, this is, hold on a second.
He's showing a picture of the spaghetti.
Spaghetti door.
Yeah.
No, Cole and I are fans of Eminem.
Okay.
We appreciate the music.
You ate Eminem?
No.
You ate M&Ms?
No. We were on a mission to find Mom's Spaghetti, which is related to an Eminem song. So it's actually a spaghetti store.
Yeah, I know the song.
Yeah. And.
Doesn't he say, like, I have Mom's Spaghetti all over? I'm all sweaty with.
My palms are sweaty.
How does it
rhyme? There's Mom's a vomit on my sweater, Mom's spaghetti.
Yeah, that's the lyric. Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Cole, you see Cole, he's doing like one of these, like, you know, face plant.
On the surface, he looks calm and ready. but
poor Cole. Cole's like, no, don't stop.
He's no rapping.
This is cringy as a caterpillar. Pick up.
Okay, so we really wanted to.
Plus, that song is like ancient.
Yes, it's like 25 years old.
We're like showing our age.
Yes, but we still appreciate it. So I imagined there was a restaurant that you could enter and eat mom's spaghetti, which is amazing.
Better than WAP.
But it's a window serve. So it's like, it's mostly like summer weather.
Yeah.
Summer weather where you come up to a window, you order a little box of spaghetti, okay. And it comes in different
flavors.
How cool flavors. Is that? And you can go outside and just eat a little bit of spaghetti.
Well, it's kind of like a food truck with spaghetti.
Yes, exactly, which is amazing, except it was really cold. Well, not really cold, but we wanted to sit down. Here's the window. So here's the window. Do you see that sign?
Is this in downtown Detroit?
This is downtown Detroit. And it says a big sign says Mom's Spaghetti, which is really cool. Okay. So because we wanted to sit down, we decided to go inside the assembly place, the next door place, and I ordered a Coney pizza.
Is this a Coney Island hot dog?
Yes,
but
it's a pizza.
Oh, that's so cool. So it's a pizza with Coney Island hot dogs. And is that mustard on top?
Yes. Have you had a pizza with mustard?
No.
Okay, I did.
People think that like pineapple is
the end.
Yeah, that's where it ends. But you just went way beyond that. It looks good, actually. I would eat that.
There is chili.
A Coney Island dog on a pizza. It looks delicious. If you guys aren't watching this, you should be on YouTube because this is over at TFL Talk, the YouTube channel. You could actually see this. Andre, you're making me hungry. You've got a salad, a Coney Island pizza.
Yeah.
What's Cole? What were you eating? What were you eating?
Look at Cole's plate.
Yeah, what's on your plate?
Cole's plate has a gigantic Reuben.
Oh.
A giant Reuben sandwich.
And an ice. Is that an iced tea you're drinking?
It was a Arnold Palmer.
Oh, that looks delicious.
Yes.
Oh.
Wow, I'm getting hungry.
Except for the onions on the salad, which I hate. Everything else I would snarf up.
So I looked this up, Cole, because we were wondering why Coney Island, because it's New York, right?
Was it good?
Yes, but it was confusing.
Did you try, Cole? Hold on, try it.
So it was confusing, Roman, because I ate a pizza slice, but it tasted like a hot dog. So I wasn't sure what I was eating.
Well, first of all, the pizza square, which is in itself kind of unusual.
Yes. So
like New York style.
So, Cole, I looked this up, and Coney originated in the early 1900s with the roots heavily tied to Greek and Macedonian immigrants in Michigan. So it was inspired by Coney Island, New York, but it's really the history is rooted in Michigan.
I mean, it's really clever. It's like if you took a Coney Island hot dog, right, and you splayed it open.
And put it on a pizza.
No. You splayed it open, the actual bun, you splayed open, and then you squared off the bun, then that's what you'd get. You'd have like an open face.
Basically.
It's like an open face
sandwich.
Coney Island hot dog. That's what you ate.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I might add mustard and ketchup. Did you eat that whole thing? It's huge. Were you able to eat that whole thing?
Yes, I killed it.
That's got to be like, I would bet that's at least 1,200 calories.
Well,
at least.
I'm not losing any weight anytime soon.
But it's cool. Okay, I would have never guessed that.
Okay.
That was so cool.
Because, it wasn't Rocky Mountain Oysters.
And how much did that cost?
Oh, I don't know.
And did you build a company for it?
No. No,
we went out.
We went deep. Just we were.
You could have built a company for it. That would have been fine.
That's
you should have brought one back for me. Next time.
Maybe we could order it. Can they fly a Coney Island pizza
here? I'm guessing it's not going to be as good as... Andre's been to Detroit like every week in the last
I love going to
months.
Detroit.
Yeah. And except next week, look at this segue.
I'm going to Indianapolis.
Yeah, let's talk about the Indy preview. So,
and what am I going to eat there?
I don't know what you're going to... What's Indianapolis known for?
Steaks.
Okay, steaks. So
the best steak I've ever had was in Indianapolis.
So you're there going for the truck work show, work show. And let's do a little preview. What you're going next week? What do you expect to see there besides a lot of big
steaks?
Trucks. Steaks. Why is Indianapolis known for steaks?
I don't know. They have good cows.
I always think like Texas. They don't. Do they have cows? Don't they slaughter cows? I mean, like the cows are here, and then they get shipped to Chicago, where they do the butchering, right? Where they have the stockyards. How did Indianapolis get into this?
I don't know. I don't know the history. Maybe our listeners can tell
I'm not us. Saying they shouldn't. I'm curious as to how Indianapolis became known for steaks.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm not really going for steaks. I'm going because Work Truck Show is really cool because you can see some unique vehicles, big trucks, commercial vehicles. So there is some news that I cannot discuss that are going to be shown there. So there is some stuff from Ram, some stuff from Ford, and I'm looking forward to many other news because, you know, just it's not just the pickup truck manufacturers. It's also, you know, the manufacturers that build, you know, different truck beds and different accessories.
Well, I am looking forward. Next week, we'll have it on this channel. I'm looking forward to your patent pending. Your
walk around?
Yes, your wonderful walk arounds of the show. So it's like being there, Andre. It's like being there with an expert. So I can't wait until next week till we can actually go hands on with a lot of these. So if you love trucks and if you love knowing the inside take on trucks, this is the video that's coming.
Yeah, so that's coming next week to our this channel podcast. TFL
is Kent
Talk.
Going? Is he going or is he?
He went to the trailer show last year.
Yeah.
I wish he was going. I should call him.
But there should be, you said there should be some big news from Ford, so we can look forward
to
something.
And also Ram.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a lot of stuff going on.
And then there's a lot of like cool insider stuff that you usually don't get. It's very different from, let's say, the New York Auto Show or the LA Auto Show or Chicago Auto Show. This is more of a work truck show with all kinds of like crazy, expensive, big trucks.
Exactly.
And didn't you drive something there one year?
They have a driving thing. So,
yeah, tell me about that.
So, for example, in previous years, there was what was really popular is electrified semis. So there's some electric semis. There's people from actually, Allison is a big player because Allison is
not the
company.
Not the person, the company.
The company, Allison.
We're not dropping names.
Transmission.
We love her trucks.
Transmissions company, they also built other components. They're from Indianapolis.
Oh, sweet.
So they're huge there. And so you could drive like vans, delivery vehicles, semi-trucks.
Where's Cummins out of?
Oh, also, Cole, there was a company that no longer exists, Canoe.
Yeah,
remember, there was a really popular video that we had. We had a canoe video.
Where's Cummins out of? Are they out of Indy? Or there's somewhere in the
Cummins,
middle.
Cummins is from Columbus,
Ohio.
Columbus, Indiana.
I thought they were somehow in the back of my mind.
Yes.
I got a feeling that Cummins is also out of.
Yeah, I get confused because there's Columbus, Ohio, and there's Columbus, Indiana.
Yeah, okay.
So, but yes, anyway, so I rode in a canoe electric vehicle that no longer exists. The company went bankrupt. So there's a lot of interesting stuff that can happen there.
Yes, the
box.
The scrapyard of
electric vehicles.
Of electric trucks, of electric truck manufacturers. A long and windy tale of people with great ideas and not enough money to execute them.
It's hard to create an automotive company.
Yeah, we should do a whole podcast on that, all of the companies that have tried, specifically even electric trucks, right?
Yeah,
there's many in the scrap heap of history.
Yes.
All right. Two more subjects before we wrap this up.
Yeah, what's up?
So Ram Tungsten 1500. You did a video on this. $94,000?
At least $94,000.
Tell me what makes a half ton worth $94,000. So this is a truck you drove when you were in Detroit this week.
Exactly. I also drove that with Cole. And so we published a video. So just a caveat that this is not like a TRX, because a TRX can be more expensive.
It's a hurricane-powered.
It's a hurricane-powered luxury truck, which is a street truck. Here's one. This is a new color, by the way, Roman. Molten red, they call it.
I like that red. It's really,
really nice.
It's got a lot of shine to it.
Yeah, and also it was a cloudy, overcast day.
It's a little matty.
But it still pops, right? It still pops even with low light. So
and that truck looks very, a lot of chrome. It looks very elegant. I would say elegant would be the word that you don't usually associate with half tons, but this one looks elegant.
I called it not quite a linebacker in a tuxedo, but like an Olympian, an Olympic athlete in a nice suit.
You know, I have to say it's refreshing that you have a top end truck that is like Western. You know what I mean? It's not, we put some big old
King Ranch stuff on it.
King Ranch horns on the front of it. made the interior full of all kinds of dead cow leather, right? It's nice.
And crocodile.
This truck, yeah, exactly. Like this truck would look at home in Manhattan. If you could actually afford to have a truck in Manhattan, this or downtown.
Well, actually, LA. I think a lot of people have a lot of money in Manhattan, and I've seen a lot of
trucks. It's refreshing that they didn't go Western. You know,
they also have Western. They have Longhorns.
Yeah, I know.
Right?
I know.
So, but this is and Cole. But I think the interesting part is the interior, because the interior is actually it looks like it's worth the money. Hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like a lot of luxurious pickup trucks, you kind of look at the interior and you're like, okay, it's nice, but it's not that nice. This interior, the materials they use, and like for example, the knobs. They're all metal. Like you touch the like the volume knob or the start button.
I like the patterning on the seat as well.
The seat is nice. It has massaging seats, of course. So it's really and the seat controls are on the door like Mercedes would have done, right? Mercedes have been doing that for years. It has 22 speakers. It has, I don't know, everything. You see, there's a massaging button for the seats.
All right, so. I take it to get to 94,000, you need a lot of features. You need a lot of bells and whistles. So
yes.
Massaging seats?
Got it.
Heated seats?
Ventilated seats in the front and the back.
Big-ass sunroof?
Yes, panoramic sunroof.
Heated steering wheel?
Yes. 14.4-inch display, you got it. So the other...
Brake controller?
Yes.
Okay. They didn't forget that.
But brake control is also digital. You know, see, part of it is digital and part of it is not digital, which is kind of weird.
1,500 cameras?
Lots of cameras.
All pointing different directions.
Also, the tailgate, it's got the fancy tailgate. You know, the one that opens like a barn door or it opens downward. You could see
Here. How about onboard power?
Not a lot of it.
Mm.
Ford is better at this.
Yeah. Oh, there's a tailgate. Yeah.
There's a tailgate right there.
Tonneau cover.
So... Yes, tonneau cover. It's got RAM boxes on the side. It got side steps. It's got so really. It's got 540 horsepower. It has the same engine, the high output engine that's in your Scat Pack, six pack. What'd you call it?
Six pack RT. Scat Pack
RT.
What?
No
RT.
I'm trying to make
jailbreak.
Fun of it. Jailbreak. It's got a high output engine. So it's got the power. It's got the looks.
Okay, I guess there's one question that
people
are wondering about. Would you pay $94,000 for a top-end half-ton, not a heavy-duty half-ton?
Personally, no.
Yeah, it seems like that's a small
It's a unique customer. I'm trying to think. Maybe somebody who lives in Manhattan might do that. But I think...
So it competes with like a Platinum in the Ford world.
Platinum Plus or Capstone Tundra... Or even Denali Ultimate, right? Trucks from GMC, but this
one—I take your King Ranch and I spit on it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, but that truck feels expensive. You know, some of these trucks. Once again, you enter and it's kind of a sea of gray or black. This truck actually feels expensive, and it will tow 9,200 pounds. So it's not a huge amount. It's not the class leading towing for this particular luxury truck, but maybe you could tow your horses, you know, to the next Kentucky Derby or something like that.
I was just thinking about if I were building, like if you're going that expensive, could you take some of the, let's say some of the cues from the luxury car market? Let's say, you know, Cadillac is doing this very expensive. Rolls-Royce does it. Bespoke is a good word. Cars that are, you know, $200,000-$300,000. Usually, if you're going to go expensive in the truck world, you give it a bigger engine, give it more power, more utility. But could you go the other route and actually give it more style and more bespoke, more personalized creature comforts? Because you don't really see that often in the truck world.
Exactly. And I think you could. Because in my mind, what's luxury? Luxury is also comfort, which means space, right? You have to have a large vehicle, and these Ram trucks and also the Fords and the Chevys, They have a lot of room inside.
Like a different definition of luxury than we've been. I'll give you an example of that. When I was in Japan, one of the most luxurious vehicles you could buy there is a van. And you think to yourself, a van? Why? What's so luxurious? Because we think about like minivans and kids with Cheerios and dirty fingers. Or we think about work vans, utility vans. But we don't think about luxury. But in Japan, imagine this. You have a van, and then that entire back area is devoted to the person who is not driving it, but who owns it and who is passengering it. So first thing they do is they put this enormous TV screen at the
like
front of it.
Like a 50-inch display, right?
Right at the front, and you can't see the driver. So there's a wall there, and that wall is all TV. Then instead of regular seats, they put in the private airplane jet seats, right, where they recline.
First class,
and they have a champagne cooler in the back. Think of what you would think of in the back of a Cullinan Rolls-Royce or a Bentley Bentayga, mm-hmm. and then it's all bespoke back there. And then you have the thing that I suspect is the most luxurious of all, a lot of space. Because space...
Yes, space is luxury.
Is luxury.
Yes.
Yeah, so you don't feel cramped. You can feel like there is just a ton of space for you to feel comfortable in. And then you have this thing quietly and luxuriously waft you through the middle of Tokyo where you are completely enclosed in your own little luxury cocoon.
Exactly.
And
maybe the scent, there's it's scented or something like that.
But can you do something, probably not like that, but something similar where you take some of those luxury appointments and put it into a pickup truck and then you get over $100,000 and you give people a reason to spend that much money? Or would you be like laughed off the work site if you showed up in something that goofy? I kind of feel like you would.
I don't know if you're going to the work site, though. In a truck like this, you might be going to your country club, right? You might be pulling up to your golf, your golfing buddies.
This is where I think, and I've been saying this forever now, but Toyota, I think this would sell.
Lexus.
Exactly. A Lexus Tundra.
I knew where you were going.
Exactly. That's where I'm going with it. Yeah. So, but they look at me like I'm crazy. And the first thing whenever I say that, they say Blackwood, and I'm like, that Ford completely. You know what Ford? You know what they did with the Blackwood? I should say Lincoln, but it's really Ford.
I
didn't know this until recently. They had a tonneau cover, and they had this like, which is cool, and they had this like real wooden floor. But in order to hide the cutouts for the wheel wells, they moved the whole thing up. So
and they made the bed smaller. Right?
They took any utility space out of the thing and made it into this like long, flat, narrow, actually not narrow, but height-wise narrow trunk.
Yeah. I think, bless you. Yeah. You know what I was thinking as we're closing this episode?
Well, we got to get to your uncle's car.
Oh, my gosh.
Don't forget that before we close this. We got to tell him what your uncle gave us. So his uncle, Andre.
I want to see a Bugatti pickup truck.
Okay.
do you think that makes sense?
No.
Come on.
No, I think you're pushing the envelope of what a pickup truck could be a little too far.
But space.
You could kind of get away with like a Bentley pickup or a Rolls Royce, but a Bugatti, no. No.
Something else.
Yeah.
Okay. What about my uncle's truck?
Yeah, what about your uncle's truck? So his uncle gave us a... Go ahead, tell him. It's your uncle.
It's a 1995... Isuzu Rodeo.
How cool is that? First-gen rodeo.
First-gen rodeo.
With over 200,000 miles.
238,000 miles.
In manual.
Manual five-speed with low range.
And roll-up windows.
Yes.
No air conditioning.
On Patreon, we have a video. and also, I think the tires are 12 years old.
And bald. And a tick. It's got a tick. But apparently it's not a valve train tick. It's a...
There it is. Yeah. There's the picture.
I love this thing.
Oh, wow. Tommy and Case did the video. Wow.
That's coming up. Really nice. We're going to do the classics video this weekend. So if you want to see this thing go through its paces in your pit, Andre, then you got to watch TFL Classics or alltfl.com. But what a cool bit of history.
Yeah, so we called our friend Andy, who's also a mechanic. He works on a variety of different things. And Andy owns a Honda Passport first gen,
which is the
same vehicle.
Yeah, it's basically rebranded.
And he's like, oh, yeah, they all tick.
Yeah. I'll tick. It's a valve tick, apparently, not a...
It's some sort of a valve tick.
So the engine's not blown on it, we don't think.
Well, I drove it, actually, and I drove like 50 miles an hour, and it felt really nice and comfortable.
Doesn't shake?
Doesn't shake.
Doesn't wobble.
No.
Gears go through very easily.
Yeah.
It does drip some oil.
A lot of oil.
Stink eye.
So I call him Uncle G. So Uncle G, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. That was very sweet. And what a sweet, sweet guy.
There you go.
As the guys over at Smith & Sniff would say, what a gentleman of a guy.
So if you want to learn more about the Isuzu Rodeo, stay tuned.
Yeah, or check out all TFL. Any other questions that we can answer before we wrap this up, Cole?
Jonathan wants us to do TFL food tasting.
TFL food tasting, Andre. You could host. I think James May is doing that. He's a big foodie.
He's good at that,
yeah.
Yes.
But you know what?
I don't know if I'm good at this.
You'd be good at it. I think you'd be really good at it, especially if the problem is you got to find a lot more Coney Island pizzas. It can't just be like, oh, I'm just trying another burger. It's got to be something like
it has
unusual.
To be something unusual, unique. But you know what? I think the ambience matters a lot to me.
Yeah.
So like if you said, come over to my garage and eat a hot dog pizza, I'd be like, why should I do that?
Actually, you could do it, Andre.
What?
You could do it, and you just put your finger exactly on how you would do it.
How?
Every meal you have to eat in a pickup. That would work.
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, you know how Ford has that folding thing where you fold the center console?
Yeah, literally.
And it
creates
a table.
Literally fast food.
TFL food?
No, fast food. Because it's moving.
Wait.
And you'd have to do it while you're...
Self-driving is driving?
Exactly. Or while you're driving. Yeah. Like you hold the drink, awkwardly in your hand while you're...
No, that's illegal.
Okay, but actually, eat it in a pickup while you're parked.
Yes.
Is not a bad idea.
Hey, thank you, Jonathan.
Hey, we have the name. Come on. Cole, what's the name? We name
Fast Lane Food?
No. In a pickup.
What? Pick up your pickup?
Pickup food.
Pickup food?
Yeah. Yeah, pickup food. Just keep it
wow.
simple.
Wow. Dude,
pick up grub.
Pick
up grub.
And that's when we go to Mom's Spaghetti.
I've been looking for, actually, I want to do this now because I've been looking for something creative to do. I've been kind of feeling like we've been stagnating. So that's why I'm pushing this Woolly Mammoth Challenge because I want to push the boundaries of creativity. But let's do an episode of Pickup Grub.
Pickup Grub.
Let's seriously. So I was thinking what we should do for a video and we haven't done it yet. Remember how we used to do the Snarfs Challenge where we would try to get it to navigate to Snarfs?
Yeah.
And we go from our old offices.
Yes.
I thought it'd be fun to do a video where we actually go into Snarfs and actually show us eating some Snarfs. Because people, after all those episodes, people might be wondering, because Snarfs is a local Colorado chain. So people might be wondering what
Snarfs
are.
You know, they have some unique sandwiches too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's do our first episode of Pickup Grub and go to Snarfs in a pickup and eat it in the pickup. Are you guys up for that? Let us know in the comments below. Is that something you'd want to see before I go and recklessly try to pollinate that flower as I zip too rapidly from flower to flower, in other words, from concept to concept?
There you go.
Is that something?
Me
and Andre?
Well,
we need Nathan too. Unfortunately, he's in California.
Yeah.
So we could do
an
episode.
Nathan can do from Los Angeles.
Well, he doesn't...
You can pick up some grub.
You need two people.
Yes.
So you need somebody in the driver's seat, you need somebody in the passenger seat, and then you need to eat pickup grub.
We can do this during Los Angeles at a show. We can eat some grub with Nathan.
By that time, we've forgotten long. That's not in the fall. I'm talking about like next week, dude.
We can
pick up grub. All right, guys. Well, let us know in the comments below. We do read our comments if you'd like to see an episode of Pickup Grub and what pickup we should use for the first episode. That's right there is just a question.
You got it.
And now someone's going to steal it. I'm going to be bummed.
I don't think we're the first ones to
Have you seen an episode of people eating
in trucks?
Interesting food in trucks? You have?
That's like everyone
says
food reviews eat it in their car for some reason.
That's right. Everybody who like TikTok, they're always eating it in their car. But not in their pickup. They're always in their car.
But are they truck guys?
They're not truck guys or gals.
They're not truck guys.
But it is a thing where, like, in TikTok. Yeah, it is a thing. Yeah, true that. All right.
There's no original ideas, I think.
Since Shakespeare.
Yes.
there's that saying, right? If you got enough monkeys together and just had them pound on a computer, eventually they would create Shakespeare.
They could, potentially. Eventually.
Back in the day, it was a typewriter, but now it's a computer. And now it's going to be AI. AI could create Shakespeare much quicker with the monkeys than them pounding on typewriters or computers. All right, head on over to alltfl.com, and we shall see you next time where Andre is going to be walking around showing you the ins and outs of the Work Truck Show from Indianapolis.
And then I'll be eating my steak.
Ciao.